Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into today's episode of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. My name is, of course, Sunny, and I am joined by my co-hosts, Blackwing Simoon the Poison Wind and Bryonic Dragon of the Ice Bear, or Sea Serpent, or whatever he's called. How are you guys doing today?
It's
Bryonic?
I said what I said.
Wow, that's incredible.
Skyhawk's been a different bird every episode for the last 3 months.
Listen, you called me Simoon last episode. So how about we do, how about I take Gale the Whirlwind this time? Trish, if it's any consolation, he could have called you Gungnir. It could have been worse.
Man.
I'm going to call it, instead
at least Gungnir was getting
Blizzard the Far North today.
Blizzard the Far North. Okay, I'm good.
You are indeed Far North.
That's true.
Well, before we get too far in, we of course want to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. So if you haven't already, be sure to check out Tier Zero Games. They have a discount code, 5% off. They do great pre-sale stuff. Be sure to check out Dragon Shield for all of your sleeve needs. Be sure to check out GM Accessories. We have a code there for 10% off. Also, while we're talking about GM Accessories, I have been using the Apex Victory sleeves for my Edison deck. I've liked them a lot. They've been very good. Definitely worth checking out if you haven't already checked out their Apex Victory sleeves. Also, be sure to check out
Grimoire.
Our Patreon? Oh, yeah, of course. How could I forget? Grimoire Accessories. And we have discount codes for all of those in the description down below, of course. And our TCG Player Affiliate link, I think. And Patreon. Check all those things out. Okay, so today we are talking about mainly the differences between Master Duel and the TCG. So what spurred this topic was, Trish, over the weekend, you did something that I don't know if people have done yet before. You managed to top not one, but multiple events for multiple different games. And how did that go? How do you feel about that?
I have no idea how I managed to do that this weekend. I woke up on like Friday with the realization that I did not have my invite to the NAWCQ yet, because I have not played in like a regional or anything since Full Power Tier, I think. I think it was like last December was the last time that I played like in IRL regional. And you do get invites at YCS's, and you know, I got my YCS top this year, and I was like, wait, my YCS was top was like 2 weeks before the NAWCQ, so like it doesn't count.
I need to play
in a regional. So I saw there was a remote dual regional this weekend, so I played in that, And I was like, you know what? All I need is an invite. I just want to play my pet deck. So I queued up with Dragon Link, which is severely, severely hit in the TCG. And I accidentally got third place. I don't know how I managed to do that. And then the next day I woke up and played in MBT's MCS on Master Duel. And I think I came seventh after Swiss, and I of course lost in top 16 as I have done like five or six times now.
Your MCS runs appear to be just like horribly cursed. You go like almost undefeated in Swiss, like usually you lose like the last round, and then you just get, and then it's just top 16 just doesn't work. It's wild.
I have gone 8-0 twice, and I think 7-1 three or four times.
That's
just
crazy.
Lose in top 16 every time. The one time I got out of top 16, I made it to the finals.
Hey, that's something. So my question then becomes, we know that there's a ton of differences between the two formats, but I guess it's funny, we're supposed to be having you on as a co-host, but yet now we seem to be just doing interviews every time now, because I just have so many questions. So I guess I'm going to start with, how do you go from just transitioning quickly from full-scale TCG event, taking the time to get ready for that, to just swooshing on over into Master Duel?
Well, I mean, I play Master Duel pretty much every day. Sure. You know, like I was a big TCG player for like 10 years, right? Like it's all I ever knew. And then Master Duel came out. And I was already like a content creator at that point. And so of course, like I was going to play the Master Duel game because it just came out. Right. And I was like, wow, this is actually kind of fun. So I just kept staying with Master Duel, rather than the TCG, like, cause who wants to ladder Dueling Book for 8 to 9 hours a day?
Literally nobody.
Nobody. But that's what I was doing for years. Was literally just no-lifing Dueling Book. And now I'm no-lifing Master Duel. So when I go back to the TCG, I feel like a little bit like a fish out of water now. So, you know, it was more comfortable going to the MCS. But I think, you know, this is kind of generic advice too, is like for me, I picked my pet deck and I did well with it. So like, I think if you pick a pet deck, even when you don't feel comfortable in format, you can still do well.
It's funny.
So do you feel that you can do that in both Master Duel and TCG?
Well, I mean, that's exactly what I did, right? Because I went back from Master Duel to the TCG. Oh. And I was just like, I'll just play my pet deck because like, I don't feel very comfortable with the new form. Like I have Rescue Ace. I could have played Rescue Ace, but I played it at Richmond and I did not feel great because I'm not comfortable with it. So I played a deck I was comfortable with. Everybody, like, I would send my deck list to my friends. It's like, yo, does this look good? And they would send me back like laughing reacts and vomit emojis. And you know, it still works out. It still works out.
Was it? That's,
how many people were in that remote dual regional?
It was over 100. So it was pretty like decent size for a remote dual regional. Yeah. Like small for an IRL regional, but like decent for remote dual. I think it was 104 is what I remember.
Yeah, I've
been in person smaller than that.
On YGO Pro deck, it's listed 100. I feel like the side deck ones are anywhere between like 60 and like 110 usually. So that tracks. So from what I know of the run, so you ended up third. Your only loss was at Evilise playing Rescue Ace. And you still ended up sneaking out above her by one place. And then
that's crazy.
So
we I think how that worked is we had the same tiebreaker for like somebody we beat.
Yeah, there's some, the KTS's tiebreaker system is very funny. As is Yu-Gi-Oh's breaker system, because for those who don't know, Yu-Gi-Oh doesn't care if you win 2-0 or 2-1. It only cares that you win. And it's
right.
And then it's your record against your opponents, and then record against your opponent's opponents. And then they introduced another tiebreaker recently that I don't remember what it is. But
did they really?
Yeah. There's now a fourth tiebreaker. It came out in the last policy updates.
Oh, but I missed that.
I'll look it up later. I don't remember what it is, but there is another one now.
I'm a little bit curious as to the formatting on the MCS because I'm not really familiar with it. I know it's like Swiss and then Top Cut, but yep. And there's something to do with its side deck. Is the side deck only in Top Cut?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's like the big competitive like cool thing with the format. So how it is it's best of one Swiss for 8 rounds. And then it becomes cut to top 16, best of 3. So only the players who make it to top 16 have to submit a side deck. So one of the things that people try to do, which, you know, personally I don't do because I, you know, I'm like super superstitious when it comes to Yu-Gi-Oh, but like if you were going to try and like be metagaming about it, you'd be like looking for all the people in top 16, trying to figure out like who's playing what, and then saying, okay, if there's no trap decks in top 16, I don't have to side dusters, I don't have to side reboots.
Right.
But if there's like 5 people that top Labyrinth, it's like, oh, I'm putting in reboots, I'm putting in lightning storms, I'm putting in feather duster. So that's just one of those things that you can do. But it's like a cool format because you don't have to like pre-plan as much, and you can just like build a solid deck list that you know that is good, and then you can just like then you get like 10 minutes to do a deck building challenge almost.
Right.
Yeah, get that like short period of time. The other cool thing, there's like the subtle difference in how the games themselves are timed. So Swiss rounds are on a round timer. I think it's something like 30 or 40 minutes. And so time is a factor in Swiss rounds, not just like the Master Duel timer, but the actual time on the round. And in Top Cut, it's untimed. So you're competing against the Master Duel timer, but your game could go as long as it needs to take. So you end up you end up being able to think out decisions more in Top Cut. It makes for pretty interesting spectating.
But at the same time, just due to like the naturality of there being a timer in game and there being that natural like, hey, we have this much time to do this, I'm imagining games very rarely go to time.
Not habits. you would be mistaken.
I had several games where there I was like swinging for lethal with like 30 seconds on the clock. And it's not like it's similar to like you know, in TCG. Sometimes you go to time because it's a really intense game. Sometimes you go to time just because you can't control your opponent and they just take forever to think.
Right.
So it's you know, 50-50 of that. But I did just want to like tack on to the thing that we were talking about before with like the side decking, because there is another interesting element that I forgot to like mention, which is that because Master Duel is like best of one, you're going to build your deck like way differently than you would in the TCG. Where like you know that you have that side deck, so you can like optimize your deck differently. Like for example, like I main decked like Thrust, like Herald of the Abyss, and stuff like that in my deck in the MCS, because if I queued into Pearly and they end on a Gnor, my only out to a Gnor would just be like Thrust into Herald and send it. And if I don't have that in my main deck, I see a Gnor, I lose the match. Whereas in TCG, it's like you can afford to just like scoop game one, and then games two and three, you have your outs.
Right. Yep.
That's true.
Plus, and that actually ended up punishing me in my top 16 match because I bricked, as I always do in top 16, but I bricked on the Herald of the Abyss into Mathmac. And it's like, this does nothing.
Yeah. It's
right.
It's, yeah. What I will call cybers. Cool.
Which also was kind of I think the archetype that won, right?
Yep. So that was so the one that took the MCS was known Simo deck build and Nim deck build contributor I Wish I Was Dead playing I would say it's a lot more Ignister Mathmech than it is Mathmech at Ignister. The build is a little bit different than the other math builds that we're playing. Instead of focusing on the super factorial line, the goal was to make a Dark Fluid going second to OTK and to protect against stuff like Bestials and Nibiru, and then Singularity Firewall, kind of your main disruptions. It's like, and then your other backup plan is Gigantic Towers Dingus, and you just sit on that for, you sit on Adagnister forever. It has weaknesses, but it's also very balls to the wall, and sometimes you gotta go all in if you wanna win.
Dude, you know that man, I Wish I Was Dead, or that individual, I guess. I shouldn't say that man. I don't know. I have no idea who this person is. You know that individual is just cooking, dude.
I have
just cooking with the sauce.
Cooking always. I have a good,
absolutely.
I have a good. I wish I was dead story. Actually, this is completely off topic, but at YCS, at YCS Vancouver, that I met I Wish I Was Dead for the first time there, and I mentioned that like the last thing that I needed to finish my max rarity dinosaurs was a collector's rare Pancratops, and those are a little bit expensive. They're just on the higher end. I Wish I Was Dead basically messaged me like as I was leaving the venue, and he's like, "You can have this." And so collectors are a pank. I was like, I can't take this for nothing, dog. All he requested of me is that I call MBT a peener. And so I did.
Easy peasy.
I also gave him a collector's Xeno and a collector's fossil dig, because I was like, I can't let you get out of here with nothing, and I had extras. But that's the I Wish I Was Dead story.
I Wish I Was Dead randomly commenting on the podcast Twitter when I said that I won my Edison tournament with Amaryllis Burn. They were like, I need the deck list.
Yeah,
the deck list.
Yeah, you built it.
Oh, gosh.
So one thing, Trish, so I noticed a card in the Master Duel deck list, and obviously that list is, it's big too. It's like 50 cards. And I know that this is kind of a tech, and I've seen it come up a few times, but it's the, I didn't pull it up. I sent the name of the card to Sunny. So it's the Red Eyes Black Meteor Dragon.
Oh yeah.
I was like, why is this here? And then I saw somebody, I don't think it was even you, but someone else was playing it. They sent Driver. Is it just like a free special?
Yeah, it's mandatory. Like you always play that card. We sometimes cut it in the TCG now just because of Gamma being at one, and also the fact that the deck just has so many consistency hits that it's like you don't necessarily want to fit those cards in your deck now.
Right.
But that card is super, super good. There's so much stuff that you can do with that card that's just disgusting. It turns black metal by itself into search both field spells and make a seals if you want before you do anything. Like, that's just off of your normal summon. But something that's really, really cool, I've been meaning to like make a YouTube video and post it for a long time, is if you're playing a Tom...
A Trish it, YouTube video? Is that a thing?
No. But this is what I was doing in Vancouver a few months ago. And you can still do it, but it's just so inconsistent now in the TCG. Is that if you open black metal, I think it's black metal, any bestial, and like Wyvern Burster, or technically you can use like Collapse, but you would have to have a light that isn't Driver in the Grave. You end on Seals, Borland, Savage, IP, Beast, Regained, and like Foreign Hand. It's just so stupid. Because something, and like really the only thing, like I won't give it all away. Like you can wait for the YouTube video. But the trick with it is that you don't summon it using its own effect, because it is naturally a level 6 that makes itself into a level 7 by summoning itself. But you can use Romulus to cheat it out from hands, and then it retains its level 6. So you can then just drop a bestial overlay into a tomb, and you can just get into anything in your deck. It's just so free.
Everybody forgets that Romulus has an effect that isn't add Dragon Ravine or Divine Lance. Everybody just...
I think it has a third effect too, actually, that like super never comes up, that I think has to do like with... Has something to do with spell trap cards?
Hold up.
I'll go look it up.
Yeah. While you're looking that up, I'll give Sunny kind of the lowdown on everybody, I guess, on kind of how regionals have looked this weekend. So one
Skyhawk, while you're talking, I need you to turn your volume up on your microphone some.
Tell you what, I'm just going to move it over here, and then you can deal with it. I'm going to be on the quieter side because there are people at my place still sleeping, but.
That works too, as long as we can hear you, because people in Trish's stream were saying they couldn't hear you.
Cool, I got you.
Yeah, I found the effect. I was half right.
You're half right? All right, yeah. What is the secret third effect of...
the secret third effect is that it doesn't have a third effect. It's just that... Some people might not know this, but like you can add cards that aren't Dragon Ravine. Like you can add any Dragonity spell trap.
Mm-hmm.
But like for the most part, you were always just getting the only other card I think I've ever seen this card get is either Dragoonity Glow or Dragoonity, like the equip spell that equips Phalanx from deck.
Yeah, that's Divine Lance. And then
the thing I was thinking of is that it can add traps, because I didn't even know that there were Dragoonity traps.
To the Dragoonity Legion and Dragoonity Obiet. Oh, the counter trap requires you to control a Dragoonity Synchro. That's kind of cringe. It also negate the activation. Weird. Anyway, so one thing that is funny that happened this weekend is the deck that won the regional that you topped, which is Runic Generator. It's somehow has made its way undefeated, was also the only deck to beat Eva. And so
It wasn't undefeated, actually.
Did they lose one, or was it a draw?
No, they tied the finals. There were two undefeated in the finals.
That's kind of crazy. Okay.
And I think that's how Eva ended up fourth. They tied in the final, and it like messed up the tiebreakers.
Some weird draw shenanigans. Wild.
Yeah, okay. Because there was an X1 that would have like maybe been between her and me.
I see.
Didn't end up there.
Got it. Okay. Well, somehow ended up in first place at the regional. And I think this person has played this deck before. But what the Runic Generator build aims to do is pretty heinous. It's a double enter Blanir hand loop on top of ending on like the generator field spell plus UFD and then access to Levi 10, which is the big
rank 9. I do enjoy heinous things.
Yeah. Some funny stuff happening in here. We're playing World Legacy Monstrosity, as generator builds do, to spam a bunch of level 9 bodies. But we're also playing a line that Dire specifically really hates, which is anything involving Diviner of the Herald sending Trieste Hierarchica. No. But in this case, we're summoning Buten in order to access Baron.
Buten.
That's the pig-looking one, right? Yeah. Like a little pig that has wings.
Yeah, I actually knew that. It's the little piggy. And the reason that the Runic Engine works so well, obviously on top of drawing 12 billion cards Slepnir. And helping to control the game, is that Slepnir is a level 9.
Right. So you can just, I actually knew that.
So you can just summon...
I don't even know what Slepnir is. What is Slepnir?
Slepnir is the Runic Fusion level 9. It's the newest one, the Seekerer.
Yeah, I don't believe... Slepnir is not in Master Duel yet. I believe it came out...
That's probably why you don't know what it is, yeah.
Yeah,
probably.
That's true. No, it's actually Slepnir is interesting as a removal effect. I think when it comes to Master Duel, maybe some of the Runic pilots might come out of the woodwork again. It's two Runics, but you're never making it with two Runics. 15-15. During your main phase or your opponent's battle phase, you can target a face-up monster your opponent controls and then banish both that monster and this card.
Is this the Runic Horsey?
Yeah, it's the Horsey. It's like
okay, that's probably why I didn't know, is because my name for it is Runic Horsey.
Runic. Amazing. It is Runic Horsey. I'm calling it that from now on. That's good.
Runic Horsey.
Runic Gallop. Yeah, and then if it's added, you can summon a token. But in this deck, it's level 9. That's what it does.
It's Runic Stellio.
Runic Stellio.
Oh no! Oh, don't call it Mirage Stellio. Now I don't like that card.
No, it's Runic
Stellio. I like that card so much, and now you've like associated a traumatic memory with it.
I hate to make you relive your difficult past, but what's the story behind the hatred of Mirage Stellio? Is it just toss format flashbacks?
I didn't know that until just now that was a thing.
Yeah.
Toss flashbacks.
So like you'd always be like, oh, Salad, cool, this deck doesn't do anything, and then they'd make Mirage Salio and you're like, yeah, that's fine, and then they link it off and they start bouncing your field and you're like,
it's so funny that, like, again, everybody forgets that Stellio was also removal. Like, that card was just absolutely absurd.
Was it right for Stellio to be banned?
Oh, at the time? Yeah.
At this time, yeah, probably.
It's fine now.
Really?
Because Salad, at the time that Mirage Stellio had been banned, Salamon Great had already been hit in some capacity, like most of the Toss decks. I believe it was Gazelle had been limited. And
Gazelle and Circle were limited.
Yeah, Circle and Gazelle got limited. And then the kill list happened, which was ban Engage, ban Colossus, ban Harp, ban Mirage Stellio, ban Electromite.
I didn't play Toss, so I don't know.
You oh, you sweet Trauma. Summer child. You Trauma. Do not know
hey
the,
now
you
hey do, now you, I play Dino Rabbit and Zector Wind Up. Okay,
you do also, not
I've seen my fair share of taunting times.
I feel like that was like one of the first toxic formats that like in Yu-Gi-Oh was like that format, because that was like Shockmaster format, right?
No, well, okay, well, it at one point was Shockmaster format, but I don't want to say it was the first toxic format in Yu-Gi-Oh.
They wind up hunter discarded your entire hand.
So, true. Magical scientist killed you.
That's true. I guess we have.
I guess that's fair.
I mean, there were other toxic formats.
I guess that's. But I guess CD Pop Sangan search Yatagarasu.
Yeah.
Like on the old like Tag Force games, like on all the old Yu-Gi-Oh games, like if you resolve CED and then trigger Sangan on the next chain, the game just ends. Like they programmed it into the game that it has like an alternate win condition.
Just ends the game.
Yeah, like it just exactly like Exodia in the old games. Like if like Sangan triggers immediately after CED, the game ends.
They're just like, we refuse to process the 40 turns you're going to spend attacking with Yatagarasu. You can just have it now.
Yep, literally. Yeah, bro. Literally.
That time they programmed scooping into a Yu-Gi-Oh game where the NPC scoops.
Beautiful yeah. Foresight there. That's actually, I should test that actually. I'm gonna be picking up a Steam Deck soon. Long story, but I'm gonna turn it into an emulation machine, and I'll boot up the Tag Force games, and I'll see what I can do.
You and Steam Decks,
huh?
You and Steam Decks.
Listen, I had to sell it
so cool.
to pick up the PC, and what they've done now, this is completely not Yu-Gi-Oh related at all, but I built up some like bonus stuff at work, so work is gonna comp half of it, kind of, and. Because they're releasing the OLED model, they're discounting a bunch of the LCD models. So I'm going to get one of the cheap LCD models, swap the hard drive out in it, and then I'm going to have a souped-up machine for cheap. But anyway.
Oh, boy.
Back to Toss.
So you don't do you stand on the TCG Master Duel Divide? Which do you prefer?
Me?
I really like not getting max seed. I really like not getting max seed.
Here's a question. Here's a really good question. Okay, so.
Is it a good one?
You can either have, you're going to a YCS next weekend, okay?
Okay.
And you can either have the YCS be under current advanced ban list and format, nothing changes, or Master Duel ban list, but max seed is banned.
Oh, give me the Master Duel ban list, max seed banned every time. I'm winning that YCS. do you know what Dragon Link has in that format?
I don't.
Oh my god!
I don't.
Everything.
That's everything.
Okay, well hold on.
There are no hits to the deck. Oh, yeah. It is disgusting.
Does that that point though? Is it better than Pearly or Rescue Ace or Infernoble or Monadium?
Absolutely, because none of those cards are in the game.
Yep, Pearly is the only deck that's like remotely there. Like if you,
yeah, I mean, Pearly is full power, except they don't have Baby Nor yet.
Yeah. There are the only thing you'd have to worry about are like a couple of like weird wombo combo decks that might be like Maxi is gone, but like
no, they're not doing anything scarier than what I can do.
Yeah, exactly. Like I struggle. I would much rather play into the Spiral board than I would the Dragon Link board, to be honest.
Let me rephrase. I feel like I missed something here. It's current Master Duel ban list with Max C banned also, but like still TCG format.
Oh, TCG like so all the cards are still legal?
TCG card pool, yeah.
Oh man, you just made my deck even better.
Yeah.
Oh no, wait.
You just made my deck even better. You just gave me SP Little Knight, thanks.
Yeah. SP is SP is a problem, yeah. The
my friend Pearly revealed 3 Delicious is Master Duel exclusive.
That is true. That is Master Duel exclusive. However, might I introduce you to Droll and Lockbird?
Yeah, I think a lot of what's going to happen like with Maxi Band. So I actually played in an invitational tournament that Zara did for her birthday with Master Duel, and Maxi was banned. It was that card pool. And a lot of people were just like, just swap Maxi for Droll.
It's pretty much, yeah.
When you don't know what you're going to do. Or 3 Nib. Yep, exactly.
Or 3 Because like most people don't even play Nib at all in Master Duel. A lot of times, like if I play Dragon, so I can slot it. So like I play like 1, because it's like if they take a Max C challenge, I want it to draw into the Nib so I don't die. Yep. Yeah,
you see a lot more just single Nib instead of 3. Just as like a blowout to draw when people decide to go all in.
Exactly, because like theoretically, if you maxi them and it resolves, they shouldn't be taking the challenge. But sometimes they do. Sometimes
they
do.
I have a question.
That's, you've had a lot of questions.
Why is Taylor Swift in your tags?
Oh, we're a little off topic, but so I was just, you know, doing my normal thing, like just playing Yu-Gi-Oh one night. Somebody comes into my chat, new chatter, and they say, "I found your stream through Twitch recommendations," and they said people who watch Taylor Swift, like I guess the Taylor Swift official live stream, also watch Trishula TTV, apparently. So they came in, and I thought that was so funny that we ended up programming an entire thing so that you can like exclamation Swift quote in chat, and it'll just vomit out random Swift quotes.
Yeah, you hear?
Just because I was so enamored with just the fun. It was just so funny. It's like people who also watch.
That's incredible. And you know, and yeah, and the way it is now, it's karma is that guy on the Chiefs coming back home to me. Is the new bit now, so
yeah.
Okay,
my wife told me about that.
I do have one other funny piece of Yu-Gi-Oh news that happened this week that I want to get y'all's opinion on. So we're talking about the difference between TCG and OCG format, but are you aware that there is now an Asian English format?
So
I'm gonna send this link if y'all want to take a look at it. So this is the Asian English ban list that came out this week.
Send it in YouTube chat.
No. But what I will do
No.
I will not be doing that.
Fair enough. Well, I can't click on it in Discord, so because my Discord is being streamed.
Okay, I'll send it. But the point is,
all of a sudden it's not that much of a problem.
Yeah. I'm constantly in it for the bit. But okay. So I've now sent it. So now that I've sent it, oh, shout outs to Elephant Number 5, a member of the Necrofusion Enthusiasts. So the Asian English format is a bunch of sets that used to be printed in Asian English. I think it cuts off somewhere at the beginning of GX format, and then a whole bunch of new stuff because they just recently announced that they're printing sets. I believe starting with Duelist Nexus, and they may have gone back.
Everything being new is like...
Yeah, they may have gone back one more set. This list is incredibly based and is very weird because their card pool is missing a gigantic chunk of the game's history. So there are no
like
semi-limits.
20 years of it.
Yeah. There's no semi-limits. There's no limits. There are only banned cards. So some of the silliest ones. Most of it is just
How much card pool do they have again?
So they've got, I think, everything up to like the beginning of GX. And then there's a gigantic gap, and then they have Duelist Nexus onward, is I believe what it is. There might be a few sets that I'm missing, but they're basically missing like the entirety of Zexal, almost all of Reigns, almost all of Arc 5.
And I think they're missing literally everything after Duel Monsters.
Almost everything after DM, essentially.
Wait, they're missing everything from Lost Millennium?
Yep. To Duel.
To... Uh-huh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So then, hold on. Why is Smoke Grenade of the Thief here? They only have three Infernoble cards.
Okay, so do you know that Smoke Grenade of the Thief is a DM card?
Aware that it's a DM card.
Well, I think what he's asking is
is why?
Why would they bother to ban it if there's no abusers?
What's the
for
functionality
it?
Of it being?
I cannot tell you. Why is Life Equalizer banned when Magical Explosion is also banned?
You know, my take on this format. Well, Life Equalizer, I think I get, because there's other ways to abuse like Life Equalizer that still accomplish the same goal.
Got it.
My guess is that this is just the list of cards that they have decided are just like not coming back. Like these cards just do not come back. Like it doesn't matter like what is happening. Like these cards are just never coming back.
So they've
under any circumstances.
Yeah, they did
the Masochist Bandless Challenge, and we're like, okay, these are the cards we absolutely cannot unhit.
Pretty much it.
It's wild to see.
But Isolde isn't legal. Hold on. Isolde is not legal.
Yeah, hence the forever list.
Yeah, so they probably are just like... Because I imagine what will happen is they will probably get reprint sets later down the line that will introduce the old card pool back into the format, now that sets are. It wouldn't surprise me if like they adopt a lot of the OCG sets. So the Asia English format, my understanding is that it's specifically like Southeast Asia region that this could apply to. So that would be like the Philippines, Malaysia, etc. Anywhere that they're going to start printing Asian English cards. Notably, the site is yugiohcard.com/HK, which I think is Hong Kong. So there's there's like a weird subset of countries that would be playing under this format that for some reason wouldn't be playing the OCG format or playing Korea's format, which has like one or two differences, I guess. Like they got Paleos as an exclusive archetype.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, speaking of that, do you guys remember when Paleos were Korean exclusive cards? And same with I think Azathoth was too, right? No. Like Azathoth and Intus.
Yep. Some of the outer entities were.
This is before my time. Okay, just to clarify for chat, chat's confused. Okay, the list we're looking at right now is this list that I'm about to send in chat, which is the Asian English ban list for Yu-Gi-Oh! Now, the reason that this ban list is so dorky looking is because so Asian English, they stopped printing cards in that language, in that like Asian English printing. They stopped printing them after Duel Monsters era. So the only cards legal in the format are from set one, Legend of Blue Eyes, till the end of Duel Monsters era. And then there is no GX era. There's no 5Ds. There's no Zexal. There's no Vrains.
Okay. So I actually do have the exact list. I have found it. So they have... they have all of DM era.
Here.
And then they have a couple of like they reintroduced like Blue Eyes with some starter decks just recently. So they have they do have a couple of sets that are like strangely out of sync, right? So they have a GX up to not up to. So they have Elemental Energy, Enemy of Justice, and Flaming Eternity.
So they have full go format.
Kind of, yeah. So they have Dark Crisis, for example, Cybernetic Revolution, and then
you didn't say Lost Millennium.
That's because they do not have Lost Millennium.
What?
Oh my god! What? I didn't even get that far.
It is a bizarre. It's a bizarre series of sets. So for
they don't have Ancient Gears.
So for DM sets, they've got SDK, SDUI, Spell Ruler, Soul of the Duelist, Rise of Destiny, Pharaoh Guardian, Pharaoh Servant, Metal Raiders, Magician's Force, LOB, Legacy of Darkness, Labyrinth of Nightmare, Invasion of Chaos. And then there's like, Dark Crisis. Then there's, Ancient Sanctuary. Then there's a gap. And then they get, in January 2007, they get Elemental Energy, Enemy of Justice, and Flaming Eternity on the same day. Then there are no more sets printed for 2 years, where for some reason they get Crimson Crisis. And that's it.
No, wait.
So, wait, what was in Crimson Crisis?
So Crimson Crisis, I think, is Black Rose.
It is.
Ah. This reminds me of the China format, like many years ago, where they had like a similar situation, and then out of nowhere, like they out of nowhere just got like dragon rulers and like spell books at full power.
Let me hit you with this.
With no ban list.
Let me hit you with this.
I remember that.
Could you imagine the chaos if we get three core sets on the same day?
Oh my god. No, the absolute headache.
They got three core sets in one day.
So, I will say that would be a way to catch the TCG up with the OCG if they decide to do it. And it now that if they were to be like, okay, guys, we're catching up, bam, we're dropping three core sets in the same day. You want to?
It'd be chaos.
Yeah, stores would probably die. Like having to order that much product at once would be pretty bad. But
it would literally shut down.
They might just do like one superset though, right? Like instead of like three different products, it would be like one product that just includes the cards of like three products, maybe.
Every pack is gonna have 25 cards in it. There's gonna be 70 packs per box. What if we just
got rid of all the dog water filler cards?
No, but because not having rotation means that you never know when the dog water filler cards are going to be good. I
love filler cards.
Sure, but what you do is you release one set with 150 relevant cards, and then your next four sets are filled with like 50 extra dog water cards
Sunny,
each.
I would not.
I don't think. Yeah, like we had that actually. This was actually, we were talking about this last episode. This was the format that you missed was right at the start of COVID. That is exactly what they did. They dropped a superset, which gave us all of the like link booster packs that OCG got over. Yeah, it dropped what was for OCG like 2 or 3 years worth of like power cards like trickling into the game. They dropped all of them on us like in one set, and it caused complete chaos. Yeah,
the OCG had,
actually, I remember that. I was there when people were like, "Wait a minute, no, this card's legal now. Hold on."
Yeah, the OCG got what was called Link Vrains pack, and they got like LVP like 1, 2, and 3. Dual Overload gave us, I think, all of them from 1 and 2, and most of them from 3. And it was basically, it was pretty darn close. I think there were a few from 3 that missed, but
Heat Soul.
Okay. Heat Soul, I don't think was like Vrains pack.
Oh, okay. Because I remember they had Heat Soul for like 3 years, and everyone was complaining about it.
That was Ghost from the Past that finally came in. Same with Crystal Beast Rainbow Dragon. Right.
We got it. In fact, we might have got it in Ghost from the Past too.
No, so that's it. That's actually a perfect example of the type of chaos it can cause, because that was Verte Anaconda, Hauka Fibrax, Aurorodon all at the same time on top of a bunch of cards that wouldn't get better until later. Exactly. Simorgh, Bird of Ancestry, Union Carrier.
By the way,
Bujinki Asahima for the sprite builds like years
actually
down the line.
So the set that has the most hits on the current TCG Forbidden Limited list, do either of you know what set has the most hits?
Overload's gotta be darn close.
I think Dual Overload has 5 that I can think of.
I think Overload is 6, but there's a set that has 7. If I have my numbers correct,
it's gotta be like Star Strike Blast.
I was gonna say Star Strike Blast. Yep.
You guys really think it's Star Strike Blast? Really?
I'm just thinking of like sets that have like random old cards that get good later. Star Strike Blast is one.
I'll admit I haven't checked Star Strike Blast.
Oh, what's banned in Star Strike Blast? Barrier Statue of the Stormwinds, for one, because that's
all
the barriers.
That was Star Strike Blast?
Wasn't it Star Strike Blast?
I like how we had the same question immediately.
I thought they were all Star Strike Blast. Am I insane? Barrier Statue.
I thought those were GX era cards.
Those are all GX era.
The Stormwinds. Okay.
Star Strike Blast has 1 card on it.
Oh, Cyberdark Impact. I'm insane. No, you're totally right. Oh my god.
Star Strike Blast has 2 cards that are banned.
Okay.
Okay.
It had 3 because it had Substitute, but that Substitute is no longer banned. All right. So the set that has the most banned cards in Yu-Gi-Oh's history is Spell Ruler.
That tracks actually.
With
12 billion power spells. Yeah, fair enough.
We probably should have caught on, considering we were looking at the Asia English list and all they have is Spell Ruler. Ooh. And like 90% of the cards on the list would have been Spell Ruler.
That would have gotten
that us. Yeah, we all should have made that one. So Spell Ruler has Upstart Goblin Limited, Snatch Steal Ban, Confiscation Ban, Delinquent Duo Ban, Forceful Sentry Ban, Giant Trunade Ban, Painful Choice Ban. That is 7 hits on the Forbidden Limited. Oh, I'm sorry. And Cyber Jar is also limited. 8 hits on the ban.
Cyberjar is banned in Asia English as well.
That's true.
It is. That's another hit. It's another, another one.
They're terrified of Empty Jar. What can I say? They got Book of Taiyu.
So there are 8 hits for, but I think there's either 6 or 7 for Dual Overload.
Because what? It would be like Aurorodon, Hauka Fibrax, Verte Anaconda.
I'm curious to see if you can name them all.
Rordon, Hulk, 3, 4, Verte,
5,
Timorg.
There might be some weird reprints that are hit. Was Swap Frog in a Dual Overload Ultra?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking of Swap Frog.
Oh, Swap is Union Carrier. It was Ronin.
I was thinking about cards that were introduced in Dual Overload.
There are 8 cards from Dual Overload that are all on the Forbidden and Limited list, but I will say 3 of them are reprints.
Yeah, those don't count.
Well, the ones that don't count the reprints are Gagusto, Emerald, Psyframe, Lord Omega, and Terraforming.
Okay, so we got 4. There's Verte, Hulk, Aurorodon, and Union Carrier. So
and you said 5th, Simorgh.
Oh, Simorgh. Yep.
Hold on. It was Verte, Aurorodon, Simorgh, Union Carrier, and Hulk. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, we got it. I will say we're probably coming up too close on time, but to your point on bulk on junk cards, my enjoyment of this game would be much less fun without stuff like Star Mine just being like, what can I do with this silly pyro synchro? Or how did die get here? Which
dude, those die cards are just, I love those. I'll never not love them.
How else would you search a field spell when a monster you control is destroyed by your opponent's attack or card effect? Yo, it's tall.
All right. Some of these names are getting to be on the edge of some of these patron names are getting to be on the edge of okay.
Yo, I got Tongyo, I got Aqua Dragon. Let's go.
Oh man. Anything that can beat an Aqua Dragon?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and thank. First off, I want to take a minute to thank all of the people
tuning
in for the live streams. Speaking of tuning in for the live streams, by the way, I will be having a 24-hour live stream this Friday and Saturday. Look at this. Look at this. We got the goods. 24-hour live stream this Friday and Saturday. We'll be doing a lot of Master Duel. I'll be doing remote duels as well as live duels with, like, I have a friend coming up and things like that. We're going to set up a live duel setup. Me and Skywalker are going to play Portal 2 co-op mode. That's going to be fun. The salmon. It's best okay. Wait, hold on. I can flex big money. Look at that. You can't see it, but maybe
that's not even...
The YouTube chat can see it, and that's the important thing.
You think that's...
Do you think we can bring this, like, full circle somehow?
Oh, no. Full circle?
Yeah.
Probably.
That's not even all the copies I have.
Oh, that's so much Terra King Salmon.
with just us... These are all just Asia English cards. Like, all of the cards that we're excited about are just the Asian English cards. Yeah. We need to, like, get a whole collection of these cards in Asian English printings.
Actually, that's
true. We should do
that. That's a good
Actually, Skyhawk, that is now a mission of yours. You have to get copies of Terra King Salmon in Asian English.
Listen, anybody in chat, if you have a first edition copy of Terra King Salmon Asian English from Illusion of Chaos... I will do anything in my power to obtain it.
You heard it here first, folks. Like I said, 24-hour live stream.
I actually might.
Do what?
I'll check my bulk. I actually might.
We can talk later.
Asian English?
Yeah, I went to elementary school with a lot of Asian kids, and they always had Asian English Yu-Gi-Oh cards. So,
listen, we out here.
I ended up with a lot of those as a kid.
We are out here.
All right.
Well, let's, like I said, 24-hour live stream this Friday, November 17th, I believe, from whenever I start until 24 hours from then. So let's go ahead and thank all of the wonderful patrons. So a huge thank you to Always Second. This one's toeing the line of okay. Baja Blastoise Soak Me in Suds Daddy. That one's on the line. Zyphorus Opelousa, Bow of the Floodgate Tussie. Yeah. These are something. Big Stinky, Dimension Shift These Nuts. Ding Dong, Sosis of the Yang Zing, give me that
Herosynchronoff. I can't with it.
Give me that Harusi Konami, HGH Cyber, John Leo, Mountain Man, Oatmeal Spaghetti, Owen Alvarado, Pistol Place Pendulums. You're all right there, Trish. You look like you're about to lose it. Don't spit up your water.
I think he Baja blasted off.
Hey, Baja blasted. Oh, wait. We have more. Hold on. We have more. Silver Hope, Sukon D's Nuts. It's Sukon D's Nuts. It's spelled out very oddly. Understanding and reading are two different things. Virtually Savers World, Wind Up Carrier, Zinfandel Maiti, Aaron Gardner, Alexander Chan, Asami, Ashlish Chaps, Atsuyo, Simp of the Silver Castle, Blackwing, Silverwing the Ascendant is the best Floodgate, Blue Eyes is best, Copium, Boxwine, Chubby Ninja, Come On and Get Your Game On, Dragon, Maidenless Behavior, I'm About to Rika Glamour, Tribute for Cost, These Plant Nuts in Your Mouth, Level 4 Fire Warrior Gaming, Little Stinky, Llama, Yama, Cam, Sarama, Maxi Pack, Old Man Red, Pin Code 143, and Wanted, Seeker of Your Mom's Sinful Spoils. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the podcast. And of course, if you want to check out the Top Cut Patreon podcast or the Top Cut podcast, you can do that on either Sunday or Monday or like Wednesday or Thursday, like whenever we get around to recording it. You can see it live actually on our YouTube channel and on twitch.tv/TrishaLettyTV. Dope. If you want to see that, get in there, react with the chat. It's very fun to have the live reactions there.
So
thank you all for tuning in. Skyhawk, do you have a card pun to lead us out? You always do.
I do, actually. Trish, the Baja Blast one really got to you. It looked like with all that laughter, you might die. No. And
I feel like I'm dying.
If you might have died, that would have been pretty unexpected. Would have been an unexpected die. Live on stream.
Leaving voice call. There's no way.
Have a good
night. Have a good day, everybody.
I'm out of here. Bye bye, gang. I'm out of here.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.